In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All of you should know that I really love the services and the content of the services, not just being in the services, but also reading them and studying them, and then hearing them, having read them before, they make a real impression. So I served the Royal Hours this morning, and there is the Troparion, which we say four times, because for each one of the hours, which is really just incredibly beautiful. And it has the purpose of the incarnation in it. I think that's lost on most of the world. Most of the people that celebrate the Nativity of Christ are actually celebrating sort of a holiday, and there's all of the things around this holiday. But what God did was come down to earth so that we could be fixed, we could be healed, because the image of God within us had fallen. It had fallen because of our sin. It wasn't destroyed, but we had fallen, and we were incapable of fulfilling our destiny. So that's why Jesus Christ came down to earth. And that's very important for us to remember. And if we remember this in the context of the second hymn that I want to talk about, then I think that it should be energy for us, fuel for us, sort of a motivating force for us to do everything for the good in this world. So the Troparion is, once Mary, bearing in her womb an offspring conceived without seed, was registered in Bethlehem with the elder Joseph as being of the seed of David. And while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. There was no room for them in the inn, but the cave showed itself to be a beauteous palace for the queen, and Christ is born to raise up the image that fell of old. Every time I hear that phrase, Christ is born to raise up the image that fell of old, my heart feels very happy. That's why he came. He came to raise up our image that fell of old. It just so happens that the reading today for liturgy, the reading for liturgy, is basically about what transpired here. They were there, there was a room, and then she gave forth. And then the shepherds came and all the rest. But they were worshiping God who became man while remaining God in order to raise up man, in order for us to become deified. That's the purpose of the incarnation. Now, if we understand this purpose, and that's the purpose of the church too, that man would become deified, that man would know God intimately, that he would become perfected. And we cannot become perfected without God becoming man and raising us up. It's just not possible. So God becomes man in order to raise up the image that fell of old. And then in the Vespers, which we're celebrating now, the Vespers and the Vesper liturgy, we've transferred now to liturgy. If you notice liturgically, right after the eighth reading, the doors are opened and I say a litany, and the ending of the litany, the exclamation, is the same one that is at liturgy just before we do the Trisagion. So at that point, we're kind of in liturgy now. We went from Vespers to liturgy. And during the singing of the Lord I Have Cried hymns, this hymn was sung twice. What shall we offer thee, O Christ, in that thou hast appeared on earth as a man for our sake? Why did he appear? To raise up the image that fell of old. For every creature fashioned by thee offereth thee thanksgiving. The angels hymn to thee, the heavens a star, the magi gifts, the shepherds their wonder, the earth a cave, the wilderness a manger, and we the Virgin Mother. O God, who has existed from before time, have mercy on us. So all of creation is glorifying God. And what shall we do? What shall we offer unto Christ? I've told you before, it's very important. When you read the scriptures, there is no such thing as a rhetorical question. Of course, grammatically, they are rhetorical questions, many of them in the scriptures. But none of them are really rhetorical. A rhetorical question you really don't have to answer. This question we must answer. What shall we offer thee, O Christ? It's partially answered by saying we offer the Virgin Mother. The Virgin Mother, of course, was the conduit by which Jesus Christ became man. Without her obedience, he would not have become man. That's why we venerate her so highly. But what did she offer to God? She offered obedience and trust, purity. This is what we must offer to God. The reason why we offer these things is not because they are required of us. People don't do anything because it's required of them. They do things, the really good things now. You can do things because someone will punish you otherwise, or you'll get fired otherwise, or get hurt otherwise if you don't do something. But in terms of things of the heart, things of the soul, especially the thoughts that we have within our heart, that nobody can do anything about your thoughts. They can't take your thoughts away from you. I mean, I suppose you could be drugged to oblivion so you can't think anymore, but nobody can take your thoughts. So why? What causes a person to really give something to God? The knowledge that he is raised up. The knowledge that his image, which fell of old, is raised up so that he can be alive, truly human. That's what the incarnation accomplishes for us. And of course, all the rest after the incarnation. The teaching of Jesus Christ, his transmitting this teaching to his disciples, who then would transmit it through the ages to us. His baptism, where the water became capable of imparting the Holy Spirit to us because he made it possible by being baptized in it. And of course, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and his sending of the Holy Spirit. All of these things are necessary, along with the guidance of the Holy Spirit throughout the ages in the church and in the hearts and minds of men and women, both those who lead us, bishops and priests and monastics, and also you in your heart. All these things are necessary, but they all come from the incarnation. Because without the incarnation, none of it would be possible. Because man came to raise up our image. And he entrusted this to, God came to raise up our image. And he entrusted this to no one else, because no one else was capable of doing it. If we understand the wonder of this fact, then we know what to offer God. We should live according to this image that is raised of old. We should live with the remembrance of what we were and what we are and what we are becoming. Because we're partially on the way to becoming what we should be. But we're further along than when we began. And we should remember this. This has to give you energy. I really wonder, why is it that we have petulance in our life? Why are we proud? Why are we jealous? Why do we seek after things that have no meaning and no permanence? Why do we hurt our brother? Why do I lie to a brother? Why do we steal? Why are we dishonest both to ourselves and to others? Why all these things when our image within us, the image of God, I shouldn't say our image, the image that is within us of God, is raised up because of the incarnation. And then, of course, our baptism and all the rest that occurs after this. There should be force in your life that sort of moves you along from virtue to virtue, knowing that you have been raised up. And this is what the incarnation is for. So what shall we offer? We have to answer this question every day. What you offer is your heart. You offer your heart to God and you say, "Here am I," like Samuel said. And you do as the Lord shows you. And he will. You make yourself open to him. He will show you what you should do. But the motivating force for why you do these things is because you feel deeply in your heart that God has raised you up and that you were before stuck in the mire. And now you are exalted. You are sanctified by God, set apart for a work of holiness. So a person who knows this works for holiness. Not because of any legalistic reason. Not even because of a desire for reward. But because it is who you are now. Because you've been changed. Before you were a creature in the dark. Now you are a creature that is in light. Now your eyes still are not quite adjusted to that light because of sin. But you are in the light, and you are going to ever more light. So let's remember this. Nativity has all these things. I'm so glad that we are Orthodox Christians and we don't have all the nonsense of Western Christmas, all the trappings of it. Because it's just that stuff, I think, partial part of it is designed for us to forget what Nativity is. Nativity is the God, Jesus becoming man. So he is now the God-man and the Son of Man, so that we could have our image raised. So let's live according to this. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.